Good morning. It's so nice to say that outside in our first ever outside service. This is exciting. The one good thing about this whole thing is it's caused us to be incredibly creative, or try to be creative. We've enjoyed seeing you all on the screens. We've enjoyed receiving emails and texts from you, knowing that you're watching our services on Sunday, that we record for you on their YouTube channel. But there's nothing like live worship and fellowship, which we are enjoying today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I have to say this. I have to say that I kind of feel like we're coming to the end of this whole thing. The world has definitely gotten more complicated in the last few months. And over this last week, our world has descended into a darkness throughout our cities that is the result, clearly, of a rejection of God. Even the things that I'm hearing the news people say, they say we need a spiritual awakening. They're saying the answer is spiritual. The answer is love. The answer for our society is something more than what these blue state governors have to offer their people. And we've seen that. And the hate and the vitriol and the satanic influence behind what we're seeing in our world today is nothing compared to the power of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? So be encouraged. Here we are. Here we are. Out here doing what the church should probably be doing outside the church. But we're going to continue to study this morning in God's Word in John's Gospel. And in chapter 15 and verse 18, if you've been following along with us, you know that we're continuing to teach on Sunday mornings right through the Gospel of John. So you can turn there with me in your Bibles to John 15:18. And it's interesting because today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate the birth of the church. Not just the giving of the law in the Old Testament, but the birth of the church. When 120 believers were gathered together in the upper room 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came down upon the church with tongues of fire. They began to speak in unknown languages. They were anointed and empowered to do the work of the ministry. And the church, Jesus Christ's church, his body, was born into the world. That's what we celebrate on Pentecost Sunday. That means it was 50 days ago that we celebrated, or close to 50 days ago, that we celebrated Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And we weren't able to celebrate together, not physically, but we are today. So again, thank you for joining us. I'm going to open this up in prayer, but I don't think it's any mistake that God had this scripture for this day for us to study together. And yes, I'm sure you'll see. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your word and to be outside and to be right outside our sanctuary as a body of believers, Lord. We pray that you would bring peace to our nation, but not a peace that the world gives, a peace that passes all understanding that can only come through the preaching of your word and the power of the gospel. It's what our world needs, and it's become more and more apparent. We pray for peace in our cities and peace in our nation. And we pray for health and safety among our people. You are clearly allowing all of these things to take place, but you are clearly anointing and empowering us for the work that you've called us to do. So we now ask by the power of your Spirit that you would anoint each and every one of us as we study your word. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll remind you that if you're comfortable, that's great. If you're having a hard time hearing, you're welcome to move a little closer. I believe it or not, I'm not infectious, but what we did here is we tried to make it very comfortable for everyone. We left this area in the front open just out of respect for social distancing. But listen, if you want to move up, it won't distract me if you can't hear. I'll do my best to project. This morning, we find ourselves in John's Gospel and in chapter 15. And in 15 verse 18, Jesus is continuing to prepare his disciples for what was about to happen to them. They were about to go through a very difficult time. We know about difficult times. We understand difficult times. But Jesus first warns his disciples that the world around them hated them. The world around us hates us because we have the answer and they don't like it. It's Jesus. They don't want that to be the answer. But as the world looks for answers and they recognize there are no other answers, then people are open to the true answer, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's read together in your Bibles. And what a beautiful day, huh? I'm loving it. God is in this day. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, and we're going to just read verses 18 and 19, it says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. No servant is greater." Remember the words I spoke to you, he says. "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." Let's just stop there for just a minute. Think about what Jesus is saying. He's telling his disciples that the world around them hated them. Is that an encouraging message? Well, maybe not, but it's still the truth. Are you upset that the world doesn't like us very much right now? It's amazing. If you want to have a protest, sometimes called a riot, you can show up, ignore all the social distancing in the world, turn over cars and light things on fire, and destroy property and put people in danger, and apparently the police aren't too concerned about it, at least in some cities. I'm glad to see last night in our world many police forces and National Guard members squashed that nonsense. Praise God for that. But if you want to do those things, apparently that's okay, and so much for social distancing. But if you want more than 10 people in a church building, we're not allowed. The Supreme Court sided with the state of California in terms of limiting church services and putting restrictions on gatherings. Our governor, through the executive order, has made it impossible for us to obey the executive order and have our service inside. If you don't think the world hates us, look again. We understand what this is. We understand the power of this message, but I'm not saying this to start a riot. I'm saying this to make it clear to you that what Jesus is telling them is true for us. The world hates us, and that's okay. It's not supposed to like us. They were hated by the world because they didn't belong to the world. We don't belong to this world. He didn't belong to the world. That's why they hated him first. They hated him because he had exposed the evil in their hearts. Those that do evil hate Jesus because they fear being exposed by him. We've come to terms with our sin. We've brought it before Jesus. We've received forgiveness. The world isn't ready to do that. So they hate him and they hate us because we love him. Those that belong to the world were loved by the world. Oh, the world loves its own. If the world doesn't love you, that's probably a very good thing. They did not belong to the world for one reason, because he had chosen them out of the world. You've been chosen. We've been chosen out of the world. The world hated them because he had chosen them out of the world. So as we associate with Jesus, expect not to be liked. They were hated by the world because they belonged to him. Back to verse 20 again. "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." It's a black and white world. And I'm not talking about racial tension. I'm talking about the fact that there are those that love Jesus and those that hate Jesus. Anyone in between hasn't made up their mind yet, but listen, their minds need to be made up. We see what the world has to offer. It's not good. We know what Jesus has to offer us. Life eternal, amen? They were hated by the world because they belonged to him. He reminded them to follow his example as his servants and his messengers, warning them that by following his example, they would be treated as he was treated. Those that had persecuted him would persecute them. Those that had obeyed his teaching would obey their teaching. This was news to them. They were expecting to have a kingdom age. They didn't expect the opposition. He warned them that they would be persecuted simply because of their association with him, because claiming the name of Jesus would bring the hatred of the world. This is because the world does not know God the Father who sent Jesus to earth. So, I ask you, I ask myself this morning, are we surprised that the world doesn't like us? They would love to blame the problems of our society on people of faith. We're the anti-science group of people, you know. We deny science, right? That's what we're told. I like what the Bible has to say. Science falsely called that. The true science we know, it's from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. That's true science. But the world doesn't like us, and it didn't like them. And Jesus wanted them to know, and he wants us to know today, this is what you can expect. This is where we are in our world now. And I don't think it's going to get all that much better with the world. But wait a minute. We're here to reach the world. We're sent into the world. We're to go into the world and reach the world with the gospel. So the good news is there are many in the world who are going to come over to our way of thinking and give their lives to Jesus Christ. But this will only happen by the power of the Spirit working in through our lives. But that's why we're here. Now, the world was guilty. It was guilty of the sin of hating Jesus and his Father who sent him. Listen, this isn't us against the world. This is us reaching the world. That's what this whole section is about. But he has to be honest with them and with us in making it clear. The world doesn't want to be saved. You and I, we didn't want to be saved. We needed to be saved, but we didn't want it until we recognized we needed to be saved and we couldn't go another day without being saved. And then we gave our lives to Jesus, and now we're so glad we're saved. That's how it happens. But there's a world out there that needs to find this out for themselves. He says in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, speaking of the world, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. You ever been hated without reason? But there is a reason. You love Jesus. And so the world hates us. That's what he's telling them. They would be hated. The world was guilty of sin, the sin of hating Jesus and his Father who sent him, because he had come and spoken directly to them so that they had no excuse for their hatred of him. Think about it with me for a minute. Why would you hate someone who healed all the sick? See, I believe even today, if Jesus showed up right now and healed every person, did away with this virus, no one ever got cancer, no one ever got sick again, they'd still hate him unless they accepted him as Lord and Savior. Because he challenges the truth that we sometimes tell ourselves, which is we are our own gods. And that's not a truth at all. That's an alternate truth. It's not true. It's a lie. You and I, we belong to him. It's a question of whether or not we're going to submit to him. Now, here's what we do know. He had come. He had spoken directly to them. He had revealed their sin to them through his teachings. They didn't like that. He had revealed the heart of God to them through his actions. That bothered them. And their hatred of him proved their hatred of his Father, their Father, our Father. Jesus and the Father are one. We've been talking about that on Sundays. He had performed miracles for them through the power of the Holy Spirit, but God the Father worked through the Son. They were one, and they had no excuse for their hatred of the Father and the Son. No excuse. But they hated him anyway. Don't try to make sense of those that hate Jesus. There is no sense. It's without reason. The scripture says so. In fact, in verse 25, we learn that the world's hatred of him fulfilled what was revealed to them in their own scriptures. Now, this is very curious, because if you're like me up to this point, you're thinking, well, I understand the world. The world is anyone that's against Christ and hates Christ. I get that. But let's back up and look at the context. Jesus has just told us who he's talking about when he says the world. Notice, I'll read it again in verse 25. This is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Who is the there? the Jews, the Jewish leadership. Now, I'm not talking about Jewish people. This isn't an anti-Semitic message. Jesus is Jewish. The disciples are Jewish. Paul the Apostle is Jewish. The early church is Jewish. The scriptures are Jewish. Our faith comes from Judaism. So this isn't about anti-Judaism. These Jews were not Jewish, really, not by religion, maybe by politics. They really weren't following the scriptures. But the scripture said that these Jewish leaders are the world that Jesus is talking about. So the religious world of Jesus' day is what Jesus means when he says the world hated me or hated my father. They hate God. They love religion, but they hate God. They hate Jesus. So don't be surprised when some of the religious world hates you. If they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are threatening their religion. It's one of those little blankets you keep on your couch in the winter. It's a comfy blanket, a blankie, a snuggie. You put it on yourself and you say, it's going to keep me warm. It's going to take care of me. Little kids use that. But people who love religion do as well. They put the blanket of religion around them, and it'll keep me warm. It'll take care of me. No, it won't. It won't. Don't cling to religion. Religion cannot save us. In fact, the religion of Jesus' day is the world of Jesus' day. They were the ones that hated him the most. They're the ones that put him to death. Do you realize that? Now, that doesn't mean that we're anti-religion. It doesn't mean that we're anti-Jewish. Doesn't mean that we're anti-government. But the world is anti-Jesus. So if you're pro-Jesus, the world is against you. Now, I didn't ask you to come here today. We didn't invite you to be here to be all bummed out. Because there's hope. There's good news. The gospel means good news. While he makes it abundantly clear that by the world he's speaking of these Jewish leaders, and there are many scriptures, by the way, that all predict that they would have blind hatred toward him, that's not what this message is about. Let's get to verse 26. He's just stated the facts. That's not the message. That's the facts. Those are the facts on the ground. What does he say now? In verse 26, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Now he's speaking to his disciples. They had been with him since the beginning of his teachings, his ministry. But he's telling them, you're going to receive a counselor. Now we talked about this recently. And I want to remind you, by reading the scriptures leading up to this, that Jesus, in this conversation with his disciples, has given them, and the things he said, if you go back to chapter 14, verse 16, verses 16 and 17 say, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. See, he had promised them that he would ask the Father to send the Spirit of truth to them. This is all in this context. He had promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come and testify about him. This is the good news. The world hates us. Okay, the Spirit is in us. The Spirit is going to testify about Jesus to whom? To the world. So the answer for the world that hates us isn't hate. It isn't violence. It isn't an us and them mentality where, you know, we have nothing to do with them and they have nothing to do with us. We're not enemies. Oh, we hate the world and the world systems and the world of sin, but the people of the world, God so loved that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the world that we're concerned about. So this isn't an anti-world message. It's a pro-Jesus message. It's a empowered by the Spirit message. He promised them that this is what would happen. Now, in those verses I just read from chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, he had promised them that he would ask the Father to send the Spirit of truth. The Spirit would be given to them by God the Father in response to Jesus' prayer. He is, as we've said before, another counselor who would be with them forever. This one, in Greek, means the one who comes alongside to help, who is just like Jesus. Jesus had been with them as their counselor for the last 3.5 years, but the Spirit would be with them for the rest of their lives and into eternity. That was the promise that he gave them. He is God, the Holy Spirit, who the world cannot accept, the third person of the triune God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. And I don't think it's a mistake that here on the day of Pentecost, we're outside. There's a maybe not a mighty rushing wind, but at least a nice breeze, a brisk breeze. And here we are outside the church, where we really should be doing most of our ministry. But he's the third person of the triune God, and here we are on the day of Pentecost talking about him. Isn't that wonderful? He is called the Holy Spirit to emphasize his personality and his character. He's called the Spirit of Truth to emphasize his work and his power. The world cannot accept or receive him because of their ignorance of him, and that's where we come in. They're unable to perceive that he exists or even know him through a personal relationship. That's where we come in. He is God, the Holy Spirit, who they knew, the disciples knew through personal relationship, because he was already living with them. He had come upon Jesus at his baptism. He was dwelling within them, within him. He had been with them the entire time that they had been with Jesus. But he would soon be, as Jesus tells them there in chapter 14, in them. He would dwell within them after Jesus' death and resurrection. He would empower them to testify to the truth of the gospel message and bring that gospel to the world. That's how we respond to a world that despises us and our Savior and our God. With the power of the Spirit, we can reach the world. They are looking for answers. Believe me, it's not in burning trash cans and police cars. It's not in violence and protest and hate. And I want to say, we're all appalled by what we saw last Memorial Day on video. There's no one of good conscience that would suggest that that wasn't murder. But our reaction to it needs to be that of love. And there are many that are angry, and rightfully so, angry at sin. But where many fall short is they stay angry at sin, but they don't open their hearts to God. If you allow that anger in to fester, it will destroy you, your community, our society, our country, and our world. But that's not what we do with anger. We're angry, but we sin not. Man's anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires. That's what James tells us. We should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We're being challenged today in our society as Christians to live out our Christianity. And that's what we can do, but only through the power of the Spirit. Well, he also had promised them that the Holy Spirit would teach them after Jesus returned to the Father. Look at verses 26 and 27 of the previous chapter. It says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Listen, peace. It's what our world craves today. It's what we need. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." To a world that hates us, we say, we're not afraid. We're not afraid. We're looking forward to the opportunities that this horrible situation will bring in ministry. Listen, we've been praying for revival. The opportunity for revival at this point in our society right now is greater than it's ever been before. The doors are beginning to open up. Businesses are beginning to open again. A couple of weeks ago, we probably would have all been arrested for this. We're probably bending a few rules. By the way, I don't answer to the government. I answer to the Lord. And he did tell us we need to gather and not forsake that. And we've done the best we can with Zoom and YouTube. Yes. And we're safe here. We're spread out. We're fine. By the way, if we were in a park, we'd be okay. You can do this at a beach. Some beaches. The rules are crazy. I'm not following those rules. The thing I'm concerned about is doing what God has called me to do as your shepherd, as your pastor. And that's what I'm here to do this morning. It's what I've been trying to do with all of your help over the last few months. But all of us are called to ministry. And we're going to have some tremendous opportunities. Our church site, and I'll be sending out an announcement about this soon, is going to become a local relief center for a food pantry, working with Star of Hope and Kumac and other organizations. This church right here, the fellowship hall, is going to be a drop-off zone. People are going to be able to come here, and each and every one of you are going to be able to volunteer if you so wish. You're not going to have to leave this church building to do ministry to the community, because the community is going to come here to be ministered to. They're going to be hungry, they're needy, and we're going to be able to help them. Pastor Sal is organizing that. So if you're interested, an announcement will be going out, and you can contact him, and he will sign you up, and we'll get you volunteered. You've been looking for opportunities to serve. You can bring, as we did a couple weeks ago, you can bring your food to the building, and they'll take that and use that to bless others. Or you can come here and help pack up the food that comes in on pallets that they put in boxes and give to people as they set up their time, their appointment time, to drive through here into the parking lot, meet them at the back door, and hand them a box of food that will get them through the next 2 weeks. We have tremendous opportunity through the power of the Spirit, and there'll be more on that this week. Why am I saying all this? Because the Spirit has been given so that the church can reach the world that hates us so much and hates Jesus. And that's why we're all here. He had promised them this. He had promised them that the Holy Spirit would teach them after he returned to the Father. Again, he is the counselor that the Father would send to them in Jesus' name. He would be sent in Jesus' name just as Jesus had been sent in the Father's name. He would teach them all that they needed to know to serve Jesus in his absence, and he would remind them all. And he would remind all of them of all that he had taught them during the past 3.5 years. And that's what the Spirit would do for them. This is an encouraging message. He's assuring them that his peace would still be with them after he returned to his Father. He would leave them with his supernatural peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that he had enjoyed on earth through unbroken fellowship with his Father. He was not promising them a worldly peace, which is actually no peace at all. This is what he's promising them. He promised them that the Spirit of truth would testify about him. See, he is the counselor that Jesus would send to them from the Father. He is the Spirit of truth who goes out from God the Father. He is God the Holy Spirit who will testify to the world about God the Son. And what we need to do is simply let him work through us, in us to bring us to Jesus, and then through us to reach the world. That's what the day of Pentecost is all about. I didn't pick this message. I prepared it months ago. I didn't make this the message for today. It just is. Because God wants us to know what his plan for us as a church is moving forward. A world hates us, and we have a way to bring love, the love of Christ, to the world. But it's only through the power of the Spirit. He promised them that they would also testify about him, but only with the Spirit's help. Please don't try to drive your car without gas in it. You'll do damage to the engine, and you won't get very far. Do not try to serve Jesus and honor him without the power of the Holy Spirit. You will run out of gas and you won't get very far. He had called them to be his witnesses. That word in Greek is martyr. It means we're going to suffer sometimes because the world does hate us. We've been called to be witnesses to this world. He had prepared these men to be his witnesses over the last 3.5 years, and he would send God the Holy Spirit, and he has sent God the Holy Spirit, to empower them and us to testify to the world about him. So what is this all about? Listen, everything we're saying today, everything Jesus has said to his disciples, is true for us. The world hates us, but he's also given us the power of the Holy Spirit with one purpose, many purposes, but one in particular here, that the Holy Spirit would come and testify about him. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't bring attention to himself or even really to the church. He brings attention to Jesus. He points the world to Jesus. And that is true for each and every one of us today. That is true for us. Now, he promised them all of this, but he's about to warn them as we close in these last few verses. In verses... And I've just gone over some of this already, but in the verses that follow, the section we were in chapter 15, in verse 18, we had started. We made our way all the way down to verse 26. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning. Now, they had been with him from the beginning, but he's been with us from the beginning. And so this is what we know. We have a ministry. to reach the world that hates us. And we've gone back. We've looked at what Jesus said in chapter 14. We've now looked at the verses here in chapter 15. 14, 15 leads us to chapter 16. And here's what we read. And I'll read the first four verses, and that's it for this morning. "All this," Jesus said, "I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you." In this last section, and we'll pick it up again next week when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, because it's really the whole section talks about this. Jesus warned his disciples about these Jewish leaders, these religious people, these zealots who would persecute them. He was preparing them so that they would not go astray when things became difficult in the future. Did you hear what I just said? He was preparing them. He's also preparing us so that we will not go astray when things become difficult in the future. They've been difficult, and they're becoming more difficult, and they may become even more difficult. But Jesus is preparing us and empowering us to handle it. He revealed to them how and why they would be persecuted by the Jewish leaders. Now, I want you to listen with a spiritual ear here for a minute. Here's what he revealed to them: that the Jews, their own people, the people who were claiming to be religious and believers of God, would put them out of their synagogues and ostracize them from their community. That is what they're being told. Jesus tells them, and that's exactly what happened. Listen to what would happen to them. They would lose every privilege they had as citizens of Israel. They would be excluded from entering the temple as a place of worship. They would lose the privileges of employment in the nation. They would be deprived of schools to which they could send their children. Now, I know that that doesn't exactly describe our situation, but it's kind of close. When you think about it, what our world has done, the Jews, they ostracized them from the community, but they couldn't go to synagogue. But it was more than that. They lost all of these privileges as citizens. Now, because of the circumstances that God has allowed, and I think for the benefit of reaching the world, because of that, we have lost some of our privileges. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting in your camp chairs, tailgating out in the parking lot when we have a perfectly wonderful sanctuary inside. Although I have to say, I'm liking this. We might do this again. What do you think? Even if we can be inside, right? But putting that aside, they lost privileges as believers in Christ within their own community. They lost privileges. We've lost privileges. We have hairstylists and people who own salons who can't even work right now in the state of New Jersey. We have retail outlets that can't open in the state of New Jersey. Many of you are not allowed to work even if you want to work. You can't open up your business. You can't go to school. There's a lot of things you can't do. And some of that, for some period of time, has made sense. I question how much more sense it makes now. But putting that aside, they would lose the opportunity to worship within their own temple. And in the state of New Jersey, I can say this absolutely, that we have lost that privilege under the law. We've lost our First Amendment right to public worship inside the building. And so we've had to be creative. And technology has been helpful. And here we are. They would lose that. They would lose the privileges of employment. People wouldn't hire them. They lost that opportunity. And we've experienced that as well. And this, they were deprived of schools. How many parents here would like for schools to open up again? There are many parents who are just trying to hold it together because their kids can't go to school. They're doing school online. Now, this wasn't done to us because we're Christians. We understand that. I'm not suggesting that. But we understand in advance what it is to suffer some degree of deprivation of rights for a reason. Now, in particular, it's a health reason. What happens when it's not a health reason? You know what this shows me? The church is perfectly healthy because guess what? When they change the rules, we just change our approach. And that's what we've done today. And I thank you all for being willing to be a part of this. What a blessing this is. The Jews would actually put them to death. thinking they were serving God by doing this. Paul was one of those individuals. He was the world. He was at the very heart of this world that hated Jesus and hated Christians. And he became the champion of God's grace to the world. Paul is just an example of what each and every person in the world can become if we reach them with the gospel and God changes their hearts. The Jews would do this. Why? Because they did not know God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. By the power of the Spirit, that is our mission, to reach the world. Whether it's overseas, in the inner city, whether it's in our own community or in our homes, that is what the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost to do, to empower the church to reach the world. They were to go into the world, starting in Jerusalem, then in Samaria, and Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's why the church is still here. He revealed why he was telling them that they would be persecuted by the Jewish leaders. I'm going to read it again. He said in verse 4, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Brothers and sisters, he wanted them to remember that he had warned them in advance of these things. He knew that their knowing that they would be persecuted would empower them to endure. Full disclosure, the entertainment church never prepared its people for this. And that's why the entertainment church will die. Like one of the churches in Revelation. There were seven. Only two were really excellent. Some of them were really bad. One of them was the church of Laodicea. They were neither cold nor hot. They were described by Jesus as worthy of being vomited out of his mouth. The entertainment church, the worldly church of today, can't reach the world because they are the world. I'd like to think we're the church of Philadelphia, of brotherly love, with the power of the Spirit and the gospel. We may be small in strength, but we have the message that changes hearts. It's the message of the gospel, and we have the power of the Spirit to bring the message to them. He knew that their knowing that they would be persecuted would empower them to endure, and he waited to tell them these things because they were not in danger while he was with them. But now he would leave them. But he would send the counselor, the Holy Spirit, to empower them to reach the world. He would soon leave them, but they wouldn't be abandoned. They would have the Holy Spirit. Much of what we talked about today has to do with the disciples in the early church. But so much can be applied to us individually, to our mission as the church, and to us as a church, and to our society today. So what do we do with that? I'll tell you what we do. We ask God to give us the Holy Spirit that we might reach the world that so hates us and wants to persecute us, with the message of God's grace and mercy to sinners. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we come to you now and we ask in the name of Jesus that you would fill us to overflowing, that you would anoint us and baptize us by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would empower us, not just fill us to bring us to Jesus, but empower us for service, that you would give us whatever spiritual gifts we need in these desperate times to reach the world, not for ourselves. We have everything we need, but the world needs to know you. For the world that hates you, we ask for more love. For the world that brings conflict, we ask for more peace. For the world that brings sorrow, we ask for more joy. For the world that is angry and hateful, we ask for patience, for kindness, for meekness, for goodness, for faithfulness, for self-control. We ask for what only the Holy Spirit can give us. The Holy Spirit who you sent on the day of Pentecost, we ask that he would come upon us now in a powerful and awesome way, that we might reach the world that hates us with the love of God. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.